All right. Hey there, Don and George and whoever might be on the radio. If you guys are okay, I'm going to just be a little bit casual here and not sit with my computer in my lap. My computer has been in my lap since about 5 a.m. this morning. I'm ready to not have it in my lap. In fact, don't tell anybody, but I didn't even shower today. Look, are you ready? I'm gonna lift my blouse. You see what I have on underneath? My workout clothes. I didn't even shower today, but I had an interview today. And so I couldn't stay in my workout clothes all day because somebody was interviewing me, you know, and there would be a camera on me. So I just threw this on over my workout clothes and pretended like I looked nice. But I've just been working all day. So we're going to relax now because it's just us. But we are going to look at consciousness and the absolutes. And we're looking at the message on December 15th. It's only three paragraphs. This is on page 23. So what I will do is read those three paragraphs first, and then we'll look at them. Consider the status you have reached if you are able to understand what I say. And if you have understood, there will be no status at all. Your worth cannot be measured. You have done all your homework, and now your sadhana, or spiritual practice, is bearing fruit. Now you are here. Let it grow in you. You don't have to go to anybody else after you leave this place. That part of the work has already been done by you because you are worthy of that state of realization. You are here today. Get to know that I am without words, which arises in the morning. Knowing the self, abiding in the self-knowledge is not a mere intellectual knowing. You must be that. And you should not move away from it. Remain firm. Do not consult others about the advice I have given to them. Abide in what I have told you only. Kill that curiosity to know what others are told. To each seeker, the appropriate advice is given. Unless you abide in your own true nature, you will not be able to gauge the depth of another's nature. When you try to understand others, the self-effulgent nature of one's self should be open up completely. You will know yourself in the process. The knowledge being expounded here, you will not find in any books. Now, having given you so much, you may see me tomorrow or you may not. That is immaterial. But don't forget what I have told you about yourself. And that's the end of the message. So one thing that's really jumping out at me is in the middle of the last paragraph. So I'm going to start there. Unless you abide in your own true nature, you will not be able to gauge the depth of another's nature. When you try to understand others, the self-effulgent nature of one's self should open up completely. So what jumped out at me when I was reading this is I frequently talk to people who are still highly confused. And one of the things that people that are still highly confused often say to me is that they want to help others. And I don't know how to say to them, forget about that. You know, if you are still highly confused, how can you help others? You know, your focus should be on eliminating your confusion. And it's not that these people don't know, I don't think, that they're still highly confused, because often the reason we're talking is because, you know, they're highly confused, they're in pain, and they're asking me for assistance, right? So it's not that they don't know. You know, I don't remember being in a state of highly confused and wanting to help others. So I don't know what fuels that. You know, Don was just listening to a teaching that I did back in 2007. In 2007, there was still a lot of confusion in my life. And I was teaching. And so you might ask, you know, well, why were you teaching if there was still confusion in your life? And the answer is, I was told from within to teach. You know, it always kind of reminds me of Moses' story. And I don't mean to be arrogant in comparing myself to Moses, but, you know, Moses was just off minding his own business with his wife and his I think they had children. I want to say daughters. I don't know if that's true or not. I think his wife had many sisters. That's probably where I'm getting the idea of daughters, his father-in-law's daughters. But he definitely had a wife. And he was off minding his own business, being a shepherd, being happy, until he ran into that burning bush. And that burning bush sent him back to Egypt to free the Hebrew slaves. That wasn't Moses' idea. Moses wasn't there daydreaming while he was shepherding, thinking, I bet I could go back and free those slaves. I want to free the slaves. I bet I can. You know, it wasn't his idea. And in fact, when it was presented to him that he was to go back and free the Hebrew slaves, he didn't feel... I don't want to use the word worthy, because that's the word people use. He didn't feel that he had the skills, the knowledge, or the ability. And in fact, you could argue he didn't have the skills, the knowledge, or the ability. In fact, he had, from what I understand, a speech impediment. Right? So one of the things that was given to him was his Hebrew brother to speak for him, because his Hebrew brother did not have a speech impediment. But what was really interesting is when Moses was called, then God or consciousness took care of everything. You know, if there were miracles worked, as the Bible says, it was consciousness or God that worked those miracles, not Moses. You know, and again, the brother was given to speak for him. You know, everything happened for him. So back to my point, whenever it's coming from self-will, I want to help others, it's something that needs to be dropped. Especially if you're still in a state of being highly confused. So again, that's what I hear Nisargadatta saying here. Unless you abide in your own true nature, you will not be able to gauge the depth of another's nature, right? When you try to understand others, the self-effulgent nature of oneself should open up completely. That's not you trying to understand others. It's not you trying to help others. It's consciousness. It's God. In order to help others or understand others, what you have to have is the ability to get out of the way and do nothing. And let any doing, any helping come through you. I say a quiet prayer whenever anybody asks me for help. I did this even with Dawn. She has no idea. Well, Dawn and I had a discussion at the last retreat. We went off on the mountain to a little spot all by ourselves and had a little discussion. And whenever anybody asks me for help, what I say silently to myself is, Holy Spirit, this is yours. I always say that. Holy Spirit, this is yours. And then whatever gets said in that conversation does not come from me. I remember one conversation in particular where someone called me asking for help. And she told me her story. You know, of course, I said the same thing I always do. Holy Spirit, this is yours. And she told me her story. And when she finally stopped for me to speak, nothing came. My mind was completely blank. There was just this feeling of peace. There were no words. So I just closed my eyes. And I think that lasted about 20 minutes. We were on the phone. We weren't even together. And you know, that's exactly what she needed. I even heard her a few years later telling the story about, of course, she told the story differently about, you know, how wise Regina was to know not to speak. But that wasn't my wisdom. That's just what happened. Nothing came. I couldn't do anything but just sit there and be silent. So when you try to understand others, it's the self-effulgent nature, right? Doesn't effulgent mean like a bright light, right? It's the self-effulgent nature that should be opening up and working with others, not you. And then it says, you will know yourself in the process. That's true also, because you get to know the wisdom of consciousness, which is what you really are, by getting out of the way and allowing this to come through you. Because everybody else may think it's you. You know, like that one friend said, you know, Regina was so wise, you know, she didn't even speak. She knew not to speak. That's not true. understand from her point of view, that's what it looked like. But that's not true. And you know who knows that's not true? Me. I'm the one the silence came through. I know that wasn't me, that silence at that moment. Nor are the words that I share, even when I teach, me. You know, I've been doing this for years. No one has been more surprised by what comes out of my mouth than me. So what happens is you get to know yourself. You get to know that there's a wisdom beyond this brain, that there's a wisdom beyond this personality, right? You're getting to know yourself, your true self, in the process of being empty and allowing this to come through you. You know, when I received my calling to write for the Holy Spirit and teach what I write, which came, gosh, only, well, let's see, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, only 7 months after I started the spiritual path. Talk about not knowing anything. This is why I compare myself to Moses. Because again, you know, Moses felt like he didn't have the skills or the ability to do what he was asked to do. God, I didn't either. Here I am being asked to write and teach, and I'm a baby on the spiritual path. No, I think I forgot what I was going to say by explaining that. But I will say, I don't think this is what I was going to say, but I will say this. When the calling came for me to teach, one of the things that I was told in that calling is that this is how I would learn. Right. This is how I would learn. And I will tell. Oh, I know what I was going to say. That same day I was sent to watch a movie. And it was Inner Guidance that sent me to watch the movie. So I knew there was a message in the movie for me. So I was watching the movie, and the movie was Shall We Dance with Jennifer Lopez and Richard Gere. And in the movie, Richard Gere is a dance student and Jennifer Lopez is the dance teacher. And she's teaching him to dance, trying to get him ready for a ballroom competition. and he's really not very good. He's stepping on her feet and stuff. So finally, Jennifer Lopez says, stop. Don't move unless you feel it. And somehow, I don't know how, I understood that instruction perfectly. I knew, even though I had just received guidance to write with the Holy Spirit and teach what I write, I knew that was never, ever to come from me. I understood that one sentence in that movie perfectly. Don't move unless you feel it. Something else was going to move me. Let's see what else is in this message. I'm going to go back to the top now. Consider the status you have reached if you are able to understand what I say. Oh, that's beautiful. You know, Nisargadatta knows that to a lot of people when he talks, it's just puzzles. It's like, what did he say? What does he mean by that? I mean, I remember when I first started reading Nisargadatta, I didn't understand what he was saying. So he says, consider the status you have reached if you are able to understand what I say. If this makes sense to you, something's going on, right? There's something going on if you can even understand me, he's saying. Consider the status you have reached if you are able to understand what I say. And if you have understood, there will be no status at all. You know, like, you know, like you're not going to be arrogant about, hey, I understand Nisargadatta now. Right? So, you know, he's both telling you that you've made progress, something is going on, but he's also commenting that, you know, that's not, it's not anything that you want to own with your ego, right? And you won't if you've really understood. And you won't own it with your ego if you've really understood. Then he says, your worth cannot be measured. You have done all your homework. Oh, cool. He uses the word homework too. I'm not the only one. You have done all your homework, and now your sadhana or spiritual practice is bearing fruit. Now you are here. Let it grow in you. This reminds me of something I once heard. Well, I started to say I once heard Adyashanti say, but I actually think I heard Helen Avery say it, and she was quoting Adyashanti, so I think I heard it through Helen. But what I heard that Adyashanti said was that when you're listening to a talk, you know, from Adyashanti or Nisargadatta or anybody else, you should listen as if you're listening to the wind, you know, blowing the leaves in the trees, right? When you're listening to the wind blowing the leaves in the trees, there's not an intellectual, or like the rain, that might even have been it. My mind may have remembered it wrong, or like the rain falling, right? There's not an intellectual trying to understand going on. There's just a being present and letting the sound hit the eardrum. That's how Nisargadatta is recommending that we listen. Not intellectually trying to understand what he's saying, but just allowing the sound of the words to come and hit the eardrum, and we just be. You have done all your homework, and now your sadhana or spiritual practice is bearing fruit. Now you are here. Let it grow in you. You know, just be here. You don't have to go to anybody else after you leave this place. He's really saying the seeking is done. Let the bearing fruit happen. You don't have to go to any place else after you leave this place. That part of the work has already been done by you. Now, what's important here is he's talking to a particular individual. And remember, later on, he even says, don't be asking other people what I said to them. Just listen to what I'm saying to you. So what he's saying to this individual is not true for every individual. You know, one of the big mistakes that happens sometimes is when people give up the seeking before it's their time to give up the seeking. You know, so you kind of need to know when you do have that understanding. You know, he says, consider the status you have reached if you are able to understand. We have to know when we've reached that understanding. When we've reached that understanding, that's when the seeking ends. And we start allowing the bearing fruit to happen. If you still don't understand, you know, if Regina is talking, or Nisargadatta, or Ramana, or Bernadette, or Adyashanti, or Eckhart Tolle, and you still have questions, you still don't understand, it's not time for your seeking to end yet. But when what comes out of the mouths of these teachers, you know, there's understanding, there's clarity, there's realization, your seeking has ended. Now it's time for the being to begin, so that the bearing fruit can happen. And you know, in Gentle Healing 3, I read your journals, I see a lot of people whose seeking has ended. I can tell by what they're writing. If they can write that, they understand, right? So you don't have to go to anybody else after you leave this place. That part of the work has already been done by you. Because you are worthy of that state of realization, you are here today. And now here's the instructions for this person. Get to know the I am without words, which arises in the morning. Knowing the self, abiding in the self-knowledge, is not a mere intellectual knowing. You must be that. All right, Ron talks about this a lot in his journal. He uses Bernadette's words about being in the marketplace. But that's really what Nisargadatta is saying. You must be this unaffected self in your life. You know, you must abide as this presence, abide as this awareness, and stay there. In fact, he even says, remain firm. You know, that's how this process is going to complete itself. Your seeking is done. You have found, and now you must become by being. You become by being that. Now, you know, you can't become by being if you don't yet know what that is. That's when you're still seeking. But when you know what that is, then you just become by being that in your everyday life. Get to know the I am without words, which arises in the morning. Knowing the self, abiding in the self-knowledge, is not a mere intellectual knowing. You must be that. And you should not move away from it. Remain firm. I'm going to go ahead and read this three times. You must be that. And you should not move away from it. Remain firm. You must be that. And you should not move away from it. Remain firm. I'm in step 5 in the 7 steps to awakening. And yesterday, one of the quotes that I read, and this won't be an exact quote, but it's close enough, It was basically the same teaching that Nisargadatta was giving now. And it was saying something like, you must be that even if the mountains are pulverized. Those words are exact quotes about the mountains being pulverized. You know, and I sat back and just imagined, you know, like asteroids or something hitting the mountains, and the mountains are exploding, you know. And the teaching and the quote was, remain as awareness. Don't get all excited. I mean, talk about be firm. Can you remain as awareness even as the mountains are pulverized? That's a pretty strong quote. So I contemplated that yesterday, and I did my writing in my journal on that yesterday. And then this morning, just an interesting thing happened. And one of the things I talked about in my journal was, you know, even while dying, or even while a loved one is dying, right, staying in awareness, I was contemplating all of that. So an interesting thing happened this morning. I don't know what it was, just an experience. But this morning, while I was doing my seven steps contemplation, I started to lose my vision. And the way the vision was going away, it was as if I had stared at the sun. You know how you stare at the sun and then you look away and there's like the black spots and all that kind of light around it because you stared at the sun, but you can't see through it. It was like that, except I hadn't stared at the sun. I hadn't stared at the light. And it didn't just last a few seconds. It lasted several minutes. And then the sensation started moving into my brain, which felt a lot like, you know how when you sit on your foot and your foot falls asleep? It was like that feeling in the brain. So I have this vision experience and this brain experience as I'm contemplating the seven steps. And I remained as that. Like if you read my journal, you'll see how I was just describing the experience, but I was staying in awareness. And I think it's kind of funny that that followed the day before when I was contemplating remaining in awareness even as the mountains are pulverized, you know, even as I am dying or a loved one is dying. And so this morning, for some reason, I kind of had an experience. And there was a quick little thought that passed the mind briefly and really had no effect because I didn't give it any attention, but it was an opportunity to give it attention. The quick little thought that passed the brain, I hate to say this out loud in case it scares anybody else, was that I was having a stroke. And I just watched it, and I just kept contemplating, and I stayed in the audience as the mountains were pulverized, and the experience ended after 10, 12 minutes, something like that. You know, it wasn't super long, but it wasn't super short either, you know. It was long enough that I contemplated at least two full quotes while in that state. Remain firm. This doesn't mean sometimes and under some circumstances, right? You must be that, and you should not move away from it. Remain firm. And now I'll just read this last paragraph. Do not consult others about the advice I have given to them. Abide in what I have told you. Kill that curiosity to know what others are told. To each seeker, the appropriate advice is given. Unless you abide in your own true nature, you will not be able to gauge the depth of another's nature. When you try to understand others, the self-effulgent nature of one's self should open up completely. You will know yourself in the process. The knowledge being expounded here you will not find in any books, except for this one, of course. Now, having given you so much, you may see me tomorrow or you may not. That is immaterial. But don't forget what I have told you about yourself. And I'll just read what I think is the most important part again. Knowing the self, abiding in the self-knowledge, is not a mere intellectual knowing. You must be that, and you should not move away from it. Remain firm, right? Even as the mountains are pulverized. Okay, releasing the mic.